I pray you'd allow this to be a time of growth, Lord. And I pray you'd help me, Father, to be able to have the frame of mind, Lord, to say the things you would have me to say. And Lord, as we just study the Bible tonight, I pray you'd just bless this time. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Romans chapter number 12. And you know, Romans 12 is probably one of the, it's hard to really say this, but it's probably one of the most popular chapters in the book of Romans. If you remember last week on Wednesday night, we dealt with the first two verses of Romans 12, and I just really felt like those needed their own sermon. You know, those two famous verses of Romans 12. Let's go ahead and read them again, although we're not preaching on them tonight. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, you've got to understand that these epistles, obviously they were written under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, but as the Apostle Paul penned the book of Romans, he's writing a letter to the church in Rome. And you got to understand that all of these chapters are within the context of each other. And to really understand the next few verses found in Romans, you really have to understand Romans chapter number 1, Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2. And I'm not going to go back and re-preach that. We talked about that last week. But you've got to get this concept down, that God expects you to present your body a living sacrifice. And what that means is that if you're going to present your body a living sacrifice, it means you're not going to be conformed to this world, and it means that you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But God expects that. And like we said, all of this goes within its context. You know, we've talked about this before, but let me just say it again. If you look at verse 36 of number 11, of chapter 11, you see, for of whom and through for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. When you understand that everything in our lives is to revolve around God, then it's easy to understand why we ought to give our bodies a living sacrifice. So it's all in its context. So if you understand that concept, that God expects your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Him, it's your reasonable service. It's not you going over and above. It's not you being a fanatic. It's not you being, you know, some sort of a crazy or in a cult or something. It's reasonable for you to offer your body to God. If you look at verse 3, the Bible says, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now we're going to get back to that in a sec. But to think soberly according as God hath dealt. Now I want you to see this. According as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now I want you to see. God has, well, make note of these words. If you look at verse 3, I want you to make note of this. Through the grace given unto me. Do you see that? So there was grace given unto me. Look at the last part of verse 3. God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Okay, so there have been things that have been given to me. Okay, grace has been given unto me. There's a certain amount of measure of the faith which has been given unto me. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, and this is really what I want to deal with tonight. It says, for as we have many members. Now that word members there is means body parts, okay? And it says, for as we, okay, he's using himself as an example, or human beings as an example. He says, for in the same way as we have body parts. Are you with me? Look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Okay, so he's saying, look, you've got body parts to your one body, and not all the body parts are the same, have the same office, you know, or the same position, or the same responsibility. For example, and we're going to look at this a little more closely here in a second, but my hands do not do the same things that my eyes do, or my eyes do not do the same thing that my ears do. And he says, for we being many, verse 5, now he's going to apply this to the local church. He says, so we being many, he says in the local church there are many of us, but notice, for we being many are one body in Christ. See, the example of the church is really the example of a body. And he says, in the same way that a body has different body parts, but it's part of one body, he says, in the same way, we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members, or you could say body parts, of one another. See, you and I are connected. When we got saved, we were baptized into the body of Christ. We understand that. But then God added you to a local New Testament church, and God brought us together as different body parts of one body or a member. Now, keep your finger there in Romans chapter 12, all right? And we're going to come back to it. But go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. It's the very next book in the Bible there. And it's interesting it's interesting how Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll see here, are somewhat of parallel passages. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, I'm going to have to, I apologize, I'm going to have to drink a lot of water tonight because I've had a horrible headache all day long. I don't know why, I think I'm dehydrated, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, is it good if the first thing you have to eat is a Coke? That's probably not good, huh? That's probably the symptom right there. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, we're going to talk about that in a second. Brethren, I will not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as we were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now we're going to come back to those verses in a second, but look at verse 12. Tell me if this sounds familiar to Romans chapter number 12. For as the body is one, and hath many body parts, members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. You see that? For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, don't forget that. What does the word member mean? Do you remember? Body parts. He says, look, the body is not one body part, but many. Look at verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is he therefore not of the body? Now, it seems pretty simple, you know, the illustration he's giving. But he says, if the foot says, well, I'm not the hand, so I'm not part of the body, does that make him not part of the body? Look at verse 15. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now here, the illustration you're getting is that he's saying, you know, the foot wants to be the hand, and he says, because I'm not the hand, then I don't want to be part of the body. And he says, you know, the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye. He says, the ear wants to be the eye, but because he's not the eye, he says, because I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now here's what he's trying to say. Look back at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, you know, this is kind of one of my soapbox verses. You know why? Because as a pastor, oftentimes, especially in a church our size, a church that just started, you know, been around a couple years or so, you know, people start to develop this idea, oh, let the pastor take care of it. You know, I say, you know, we'll get up here and we'll talk about soul winning. We say, you know, it's our job and our responsibility for all of us to go out and reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people will get this idea. Well, that's for the pastor to do. Or that's for certain individuals to do. Look, the body is not one member. The body is not one body part. If your body, your entire body, consisted of an eye, you would be a freak of nature. You know what I'm saying? And the same way in the church, the pastor or the pastor's wife or one or two or three different individuals, they don't make the whole body. Hey, a body is made up of a whole lot of different members. Now, you may not be the pastor. And you may not be, you know, you may not do this. Or you may, and we've got different responsibilities. People do different things around here. And you can say, well I'm not the eye, but, you know, but you're the hand. Hey, just be part of the body. Just be content with wherever God has put you. Look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where are the smelling? Look at verse 18. But now have, don't miss this, God set. Do you see that? For now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Amen. Who brought you to Verity Baptist Church? Say, well, an invitation on the door brought me. Or a soul winner invited me. Or the pastor kept calling, so I decided to come. Or this and no. You gotta understand, if you're part of this body, God sent you here. Point number one tonight, you need to understand that God places in the body. And God is the one that brought you here. And God brought you here not because, necessarily that we needed you. Look, God doesn't need anybody. We understand that. But He brought you here in order to complete us. You know, sometimes we get this idea and we understand this, and it is true. You know, sometimes we get this idea where people get upset or whatever, and we'll say, well, let them go and let them leave, and we'll go on without them. And let me tell you something, we will go on. You know, people come to our church and they get mad and they leave, or they don't agree with something, and that breaks our heart every time it happens, and we try to not allow that to happen. But let me tell you something, Verity Baptist Church will continue. Our church does not need anyone, it only needs the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? If Pastor Jimenez quit the ministry tomorrow, this church could continue on without me. And it could continue on without you. But let me tell you something, okay? Because sometimes we get this idea as Baptists, and we get this idea, well, the door swings, you know, both ways, and you can leave. And that's fine. We'll go on without you, but we won't be as effective without you. Could I survive without a limb? Of course I could. Could I survive without a leg? Of course I could. But would I be as effective? Would I be able to as accomplish as much as I could if I had every part of my body? You understand what I'm saying? Oftentimes the church finds itself handicapped because God sets and God brings and God places different body members, and He brings us together to form a complete body. But the problem is this. Look at verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members. Notice, he says, now are they many members. You know what I love about our church? It's a very diverse church. All sorts of different temperaments, all sorts of different backgrounds, all sorts of different, you know, everybody's different. Because why? Because we're different members. Notice what it says. Yet, but one body. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nobody here can say to another person, we don't need you. You understand? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, I love this. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You know, sometimes we can get this pharisaical attitude. We'll say, well, so and so, you know, especially on a Sunday morning, you know, when we have more of new Christians, you know. Usually if you're coming to church on Wednesday night, you're pretty committed, you know what I mean? But, on Sunday morning, we may have some newer Christians around here. And it's very easy for us to develop, especially with the type of Bible preaching we have around here, it's very easy to develop this hypocritical, you know, attitude like, well, look at how so-and-so dresses. Or look at how they act. Or look, not every, you know, there may be people in our church that are more feeble compared to you and I or whatever. They maybe haven't matured as much. And by the way, you were at that point too. You know, we all started somewhere. But you know, oftentimes the Bible says, which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You know, a church needs new Christians. And a church needs people that come to church. And maybe they don't necessarily know how to dress. And maybe they don't necessarily know how to act. And maybe they say things and we think, oh, good night, why did they say that? You know, and that's fine. Because, you know, when we got those body parts that are most feeble, a lot of times those are the most necessary because it brings us together. It excites us. I love it when someone gets saved. I love it when someone gets baptized. I love it when you start seeing somebody growing and learning. Look at verse 23. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts. You know what that word uncomely means? That's a very nice way of saying ugly. And our ugly parts have more abundant comeliness. You know that some of the ugliest parts of your body are the most important part of your body? You know that your liver is more important than your hair? Or your heart is more important than your face? Or whatever? You know, and some of the, you know, if I just took a liver out and just put it right here on the pulpit, it probably wouldn't be the nicest looking thing. But you need it. And our uncomely parts And those things which are less honorable, a lot of times are the most important ones. Here's what you got to understand. Here's the whole point that he's trying to make is we are all body members. We are body parts of the body of Christ. And God brought us together. He placed us together. And we'll go on without you, but I'd rather have a hand. We'll go on without you, but we'd rather have you to help us to perform the ministry that God has called us to do. Look at verse 25. That there should be no schism. Do you know what the word schism means? It means a dividing. Or it means a breaking. He said that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now let me just go ahead and say this. When you're not here on a Wednesday night or on a Sunday night or on a Sunday morning, well, you're breaking apart the body. And you say, well, you can have Sunday night without us. Or you can have Wednesday night without you. Or we can have, yeah, we can do a lot of things without you, but it's not going to be the same. We don't need you, but you know, we got to understand this. We don't need anyone to continue, including the pastor, but we can't replace you. You understand? You may be able to find another pastor. And you may be able to find someone else that can preach. And praise the Lord for it. I hope you do. If I drop dead tomorrow, I hope this church doesn't just fold. I hope you do find a man that loves you and that stands up and that preaches God's word. But let me tell you something. He won't be able to do what I can do. And I'm not saying that in a boastful way. I hope you understand what I'm saying. And I can't do what he can do. Hey, I can't do what you can do. And you can't do. We are all needed in the body. We can go on without you, but we'll never be able to replace you. Because God specifically brought you and placed you and put you here for such a time as this. And God says, I brought you. He said, and I don't want a schism. I don't want division. He said, I want you to be of one mind. He said, I want you to be of one spirit. He said, like it says in Philippians 1, striving together for the faith of the gospel. God brought us. You know, and that ought to be encouraging to you and realize that there's a purpose for your life. There's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why, you know, real quickly, we're going to go back to Romans. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians 12 because we're going to come back to it. But go to Acts real quickly. We've looked at these verses before, but let me just show it to you again. Acts chapter number 3. You find that great day of Pentecost. Acts chapter number 3. Look at verse number 41. Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 41. The Bible says in Acts, right before the book of Romans, you got the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. I'm sorry, Acts chapter number 2, verse 41. Acts chapter number 2 and verse 41. The Bible says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Amen. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Skip down to verse number 47. Look, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added. Who added? The Lord added. Who placed them there? The Lord placed them there. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm just here to tell you, God has placed you in our ministry and God has brought you here. And it's not just because, well, I like the activities. And it's not just because I like it that we have donuts on Sunday morning. It's not just because I may like this or may like that. If God brought you here, He placed you here, He put you here. And God is the one who places people in the body. Go back to Romans chapter 12 real quickly. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians 12 because we're going to come back to it. Remember, those are parallel passages. I said number one, God places in the body. But number two, I want you to see that God prepares for the body. We said number one, God places in the body. But number two, God prepares for the body. Look at verse 5 again. So we being many are one body in Christ. And every one members one of another. We understand that now, right? God brought us together. God placed us together. We are different body parts of the body of Christ. But notice, not only did He place us here, not only did He put us here, but God also prepared you. Look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to what? To the grace that is given to us. Now notice, look at verse 3 again. For I say through the grace given unto me, okay, according to God's grace, He placed you here as a body part. But then also, according to the grace given unto us, the Bible says, He has given you spiritual gifts. Now, on Sunday morning, I preached on the subject of the Pentecostal and Charismatic movement. And the reason I preached on that on Sunday morning, the main reason was because I knew we were going to be in Romans chapter 12 tonight, and I didn't want to spend a lot of time talking about spiritual gifts in regards to the, you know, how the Pentecostal movement has just perverted those teachings. Okay, so I'm not skipping that because I'm not compromising. It's just I preached a whole sermon on that on Sunday morning so that I wouldn't have to deal with it tonight. Okay, so I'm assuming that there was no schism in the body on Sunday morning, and you understand the whole Pentecostal charismatic movement. Look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. The Bible says that God has given us gifts, spiritual gifts to each one of us. Look, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. Now, let me just say about prophecy, okay? A lot of times people look at the word prophecy and they just assume that the gift of prophecy is that I can foretell the future. But you got to understand, in the Bible, there are two types of prophecy. There's what's called foretelling, where you're foretelling the future, and there's what's called forthtelling, where it's you're preaching God's word. And by and large, you find a lot more of the foretelling than you find of the foretelling, okay? You find a lot more of the preachers in the Old Testament saying, thus saith the Lord God, and just preaching the Bible, than you really find Bible prophecy. Now, I'm all for Bible prophecy, but you got to understand, the word prophecy does not necessarily mean we're talking about foretelling the future. Let me prove that to you. Keep your finger there in Romans. You should have a finger in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. But go to Proverbs real quickly. Proverbs. Chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter number 31 in your Old Testament there. I'm just going to give you one example of this just because we like to prove everything from the Bible around here. Proverbs chapter number 31. It's right after the book of Psalms. You open up the Bible smack down in the middle. You'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Then you got the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 31. And let me prove to you that the word prophecy is not always talking about foretelling the future, because the word prophecy simply is referring to preaching, okay? Let me just give you a few things in regards to words in the Bible, okay? Preaching, what we consider preaching, like what I'm doing right now, in the Bible, oftentimes is called prophecy or prophesy. Oftentimes in the Bible, sometimes when the Bible uses the word preaching, it's referring to what I'm doing now, but more often than not, when the Bible uses the word preaching, it's what we call soul winning. Okay, it's talking about going out and preaching the gospel to every creature, okay? Now let me prove to you that prophecy is not always talking about telling the future. Are you there in Proverbs 31? Look at verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy, do you see that word? The prophecy that his mother taught him. Do you see that? Now Proverbs 31 is a very famous passage, okay? It's all about the virtuous woman. We'll probably see some of it on Mother's Day, okay? Now I dare you, go through the entire, chapter of Proverbs 31, from verses 1 to verse 31, and show me where the mother of Lemuel, who we assume to be King Solomon, where this woman gave any sort of end times prophecy. She did not. But she gave a whole lot of teaching about who he should marry, the type of woman he should find. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so here you find a very clear example where the Bible refers to something as being prophecy, and it has nothing to do with foretelling. It just has to do with foretelling, specifically here, a mother to her son. You understand what I'm saying? So I want you to get this idea that prophecy is not always, you can go back to Romans 12, prophecy is not always referring to telling the future, but oftentimes it's referring to preaching. Now, you can go back to Romans 12, look at verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, some people have been given a spiritual gift of prophecy. Some people are more apt or have a talent that lends itself to being able to stand up in front of people and preach the Bible. Now that's just the truth. It doesn't mean you're a bad person if you can't do it. There are some people who could never stand up in front of behind a pulpit and preach the Bible. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It doesn't mean they're unspiritual. It just means that they just don't have that act or that talent to be able to do that. But some people have been given the gift of prophecy. It says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or, verse 7, ministry. Let us wait on our ministering. Now, let me define the word ministry or ministering, okay? The word ministering refers to someone who serves. Remember, Christ said, I came not to be ministered unto. He said, but to minister. Amen. And now here's what you got to understand about spiritual gifts, okay? You may be given a spiritual gift, And what that means is that God expects you to take that talent that He's given you and use it for His glory. But that doesn't mean, you know, that it doesn't mean that we are to have this attitude, well, God did not give me the gift of ministry, so I'm never going to minister to anybody. Obviously, that's not what we're talking about. But you know what? Even in our church, and I'm not going to do it, but I could name for you people in our church that I can tell God has just given them the gift of serving. Because they just constantly, they've got a servant's heart and mind. They're constantly, you know, when no one's looking, they're fixing the chairs. When no one's looking, they're picking up. When no one's looking, and you say, well, what is that? Is that because they're trying to, it's all this. God placed that in their heart and in their mind because they've been given that gift to minister. Praise the Lord for it. We need that. You say, well, we only need preachers. No, we need people who prophesy. We need people who minister, verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teaches on teaching. Some people have been given the gift to teach. You know, maybe you have that gift that you can explain things well. And, hey, you know, make good use of that out soul winning. Make good use of that discipling in your convert. Make good use of that. Look at verse 8. Or he that exhorted. The word exhort means to advise or to encourage. You know, there are people in our church who I want them to talk to the first time visitor. Because they've got the gift of exhorting. Of encouraging, of just, you know, there are some people, now, I think we all ought to be friendly to first-time visitors, and we all ought to shake their hands and talk to them and all that. But, you know, honestly, there are some people where I think, man, get them away from that, you know. You say, well, Pastor, I don't think she's on that attitude. Well, I just know that if so-and-so starts talking a little too much, they're going to try to sell Mary Kay to that first-time visitor, you know what I mean? And that's not really an exhorting type of attitude, okay? But some people have been given the gift of exhortation. Verse 8, or he that exhorted on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Now, you know, some people have been given the spiritual gift of giving. Now, does that mean that not, you know, well, only those who give, you know, I don't have the gift of giving. So, look, we've all been commanded to bring our tithes, okay? And by the way, let me just remind you of this. You don't give your tithe. The Bible says you pay your tithe, okay? That is money that is owed to God. You pay that. And you can't say, well, I gave my tithe, so I gave to God. No, you paid your tithe. Now that you're out of debt, now you can give. You understand that? You can't say that, you know, if you owe, you know, your dad $50, you're not going to say, hey, Dad, I'm going to let you borrow $20. Like, no, you owe me $50. Now, if you want to give him something, you give him something after you pay him. You understand that? Same with tithing. So you don't give your tithe, and I understand we say, you know, let's receive the offering. I get that, and I'm not going to hurt your feelings, but the Bible is very clear. We owe our tithe, we pay our tithe, and when we keep our tithes back, the Bible says we are robbing from God. Because it's owed to Him. But then above that, you can give. And there are people who give more easily than others. It's the truth. You know, and I'm thankful, you know, I'm thankful for everybody who puts something in the offering plate, but you know, there are people even in our ministry who just have the gift of giving. They just give a lot more than everyone else, and I thank God for it. You know why? Because it keeps the lights on. Because it helps us order invitations to go soul winning, because it helps us to have all sorts of things. You say, you may have been given, it's interesting, the gift of giving. Not everybody can give a lot. You got to make money to give money, you know what I mean? And some people have been given the gift to praise the Lord for it. Look at verse 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth to him to do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy, notice the word mercy, with cheerfulness. Some people have been given the gift of showing mercy. Now, look, we all ought to show mercy. And we all ought to be loving and caring. But some people, it's just in their nature. You know, man, how's so-and-so doing? You know, and if that's your gift, I encourage you, you know, within the parameters of what's right, you know, write notes and call people and encourage them. Say, hey, brother, I've missed you in church. You know, if that comes naturally to you, you got to do that. Look at verse 8 again. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth. The word ruling is talking about, and we'll, you know, we'll see it here in a little bit, but the word ruling is talking about someone who can maybe administer well or manage well. Or maybe you have, you know, there are some people that are just not organized. And they're never going to be organized, you know what I mean? They're just always disorganized. But there's some people that are very well organized. You know, those people could be used in a great way in a ministry to help, you know, as we go out soul winning or as we have these activities or whatever we do, you know. What I'm trying to say is this. God may have placed you here and God put you here, but not only did God put you here, He also prepared you and He gave you a gift and He gave you to, then He gave you ability to do certain things, and those gifts are to be used for God. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Look at I think I told you to keep your place there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. You see, it's interesting how in Romans 12 you've got the body parts, and in 1 Corinthians 12 you've got the body parts, and then in Romans 12 you've got the spiritual gifts, but in 1 Corinthians 12 you also have the spiritual gifts. Look, we have another listing there of spiritual gifts. Look at we'll start at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, 4, the Bible says, "Now there are diversities of gifts," so there are many different types of gifts, but notice, they all come from the same Spirit, okay? So you can't say, well, I've been given the gift of exhortation, but I wish I'd been given the gift of prophecy. Hey, the eye doesn't have to compare itself to the ear, okay? Your different body parts, your different members, that's fine. Because it all comes from the same Spirit. Look at verse 5. "And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh," notice, "all in all." And by the way, let me say this. God works as much through the preaching, you know, through the pastor when he's preaching the Bible. He works just as much, and that is just as spiritual, as the person who's just out knocking on a door inviting someone to church. And the person that's cleaning the auditorium so that we can have church here and preach the Bible. You understand? Everything you do for God, God works through all in all. When it's for God, it's all part of the body. When it's for God, it's all part of the mission. Look at verse 7. "But the manifestation," you see, the word manifest is talking about being able to, something that's able to be seen. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man," notice, "to profit withal." God gave you a gift. If God gave you an ability to do something, you ought to profit with that. Now, let me say this. If God gave you the ability to stand up in front of people and speak well and do that, you know, Don't go off into the world and use that spiritual gift that God gave you to be some sort of a motivational speaker and make tons of money and then forget to serve God with it. If God gave you the ability to exhort people, or God gave you the ability to rule and administer, don't go, you know, get some business management degree. Now, I'm all for using your spiritual gift in the secular world, you know, for lack of better wording, you know, in your job and in things you do. You've got gifts and abilities God's given you. Hey, use those out there, but make sure you use them here too. Because God gave you those gifts for here. Now, you can use those gifts to profit, praise the Lord, but you ought to profit the house of God with the gifts that God has given you first. Look at verse 6. "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given by every man to profit withal." Verse 8. "For to one is given by the Spirit of word of wisdom." You see? Some people are given wisdom. There are some very wise people that God just, it seems like, and God just gave that person tons of wisdom. "To another, the word of knowledge." You know, knowledge and wisdom, they go hand in hand, but they're not the same thing. You know, someone said, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. You know what I mean? I mean, knowledge is having facts. You ever talk to people? The Bible talks about Ahithophel in the Old Testament, who was a man who, when you asked him a question, it was like you were speaking to the oracles of God. It was like asking a question to the Bible. And you know, I've met people before where I just think to myself, man, that person just has tons of knowledge. You talk to them and they just know a lot about it. But you know, that's not necessarily wisdom. Now, of course, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But some have been given the gift of wisdom, others have been given the gift of knowledge. But notice verse 8, "by the same Spirit." To another, faith, by the Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. Now remember, I'm not going to preach on it this morning, but you know, tonight, but on Sunday morning, we talk about the tongues are just languages. I was very clear about that in Acts chapter number 2. But,